Chaitanya Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rangatam Vidantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidantam
Nijajani Kripa Kari Nama Rupa Avatari Jinadaya Kari Vata Vachai Desai Kori Charana Nanda Vemati Vigana Shavita Kuran
It's really a guesswork. It's take that night out of the good idea. Take us out. Take away this out. Just put on it. India's special technology. Shri Bhajan Rahasyam ki jai. Shri Bhakti Nam Thakura ki jai. Is this going to work like this? Or does it turn up the volume? So, we've been carrying on our discussion about Shraddha, Chaitadarpana Marginam. And in verse 10, text 10 of Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he begins to explain the very wonderful way. He gives a commentary on this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And in his commentary, he gives what they call Bhajan Krama. He gives a sequence of how Bhajan develops. It's not so good. This microphone stand is a piece of junk. See what he can do with that. Anyway, I'll read the verse. It's from, this is text 10, Bhajan Rahasyam. Some mechanical problems here. This verse describes the power of Nam. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotation. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu states that Namavas, that's chanting without offense, destroys all sins and liberates one from material existence. So then he quotes the verse. Tam nirvyajam vajagunam nidim pavanam pavananam shraddha rajyam matiratitaram uttama shloka molin prodhyananta karana kuhare Antayan Nama Bhanua Abhasapi Shapayati Mahapataka Twanta Rashim. Okay. Oh, reservoir. This isn't the way it usually works. a reservoir of good qualities. Just faithfully perform bhajan of Krishna without duplicity. Krishna is the supreme savior among all saviors and the most exalted of those worshipped with poetic hymns. With even a slight appearance of his name, which is like the sun, when even a slight appearance of Krishna's name, which is like the sun, arises in one's cave-like heart, it destroys the darkness of great sins that are present there. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a very wonderful commentary. He puts this verse into Bengali and gives a commentary also, which it's very beautiful, and it's translated here in the commentary of this book. He says, Eshik Shastake Kahe Krishna Lila Kram Ihate Bhajana Krame Lila Ra Udgam. So in this verse he's saying that by doing bhajan in the sequence that he's outlining, then the pastimes of Krishna will in sequence arise in the heart. And the purport of this verse, the Acharya is actually simply translating this verse, so we extracted the individual translations. So this first one, Hey Shikshastake Kahai Krishna Lila Kram Ihate Bhajan Kram Lilara Udgam. The process of gradually developing Krishna Bhajan is described in Sri Shikshastakam. Krishna's pastimes will progressively manifest in the heart of the sadhaka who is following this process. So this process means the process of Shikshastakam, which is elaborated and clarified in the pages of Bhajan Rahasya. This is the bhajan kram. This is the process. Kram means process or sequence or steps of bhajan. So in the second shloka, Pratame shloka bhajakichudin dvitiya shlokete dhabe haota praveen. And then first, this is the first step. One should practice according to the rules of bhajan mentioned in the first verse of Shikshastakam. Thereafter, by faithfully following the second, third, and fourth verses, one's bhajan will gradually become mature. That's what it says here. It says, Pratam Pratama Shloka, beginning with the first shloka, Bhaja Kichudina, Dvitiya Shloka Yatavate Hauta Pravina, it will manifest. Now the third shloka, he's saying, Chari Shloke Kramasha, Bhajana Pakvakara Panchama Shloke Te Nija Siddha Deha Bhara. Then this is the that was the last part of the second. Now this is the third step. Panchama Shloke Te Nija Siddha Deha Bhara. E Shloke Siddha Dehe Rara Parashray Aramba Karya Krame Unati Udhai. So then, when, in other words, we follow Shikshastakam and we develop the qualities that are mentioned in Chaitodarvana Marjanam, Nam Namakari, Chaitodarvana Marjanam, and then that's first, second, third, then Nadanam Najanam, and then we come to Ayinandatanajam. So when that is achieved, one should perform bhajan according to the sentiments contained in the fifth verse. And one should contemplate one's perfect spiritual body, siddhadeya, which develops gradually by taking exclusive shelter of Srimati Radhika's feet. So this is Ayinanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Kinkaram means Manjari, Manjari Sarup, or Kinkari Bhav. So this is revealed in this fifth shloka of Shikshastakam, and that's what he's saying here. And then he says, a shlok, siddhadeya radhapashraya. So when one is following the Shikshastakam and chanting Hare Krishna, each verse of the Shikshastakam will reveal different aspects of the perfection, ado shara, shara to prema. So Chaitodarbana Marjanam, this will deepen and make our faith very thick, and then we'll come to the next stage. With that thickened faith, it will deliver us to the lotus feet of devotees. and devotees will glorify the holy name to us. This is Nam Namakari Bahuda Rudasari Shakti. So he will tell how much power it is, how much, what can happen, and he'll teach us how to chant. We'll begin Vajna Kriya, then Anartha Nivritti will go on, we'll become purified. And while we become purified, then we'll start to exhibit the qualities at the level of Nishta, which are, we'll come to the level of Nishta, which is Trinada Pisunichena. And then at Nishta, after Nishta comes Ruchi. Then in Ruchi, then we lose all desire for this world, and we only want Krishna, Radha and Krishna Seva. That's Madana Najanana Sundaram. And when that becomes very, very thick, because now maybe we want Radha and Krishna, but we also, you know, we want some things in this world. So we haven't really traversed the entirety of the contents of Madana Najanana Sundaram. We might say, I don't want wealth, I don't want woman or man, but we may want, we may have lingering desires for liberation or salvation. So then we won't be able to enter into the treasures of the fifth shloka, which he's saying here. In this shloka, Ainanda Tanajukankaram. And yeah, in this shloka. Then one Sudadeya arises and one takes shelter at lotus feet of Radharani. That's what he's saying. Then this is and then he said, goes on to say, Chaya Shloka. Chaya means like a sixth. Chaya Shloka Bhajite Anartha Dhure Gela. Tabe jana siddhadehe adhikarahoila. So the translation, by continually performing bhajan in this way, in other words, the way of taking exclusive shelter at Radharani's feet and beginning to contemplate, beginning just to think about one's spiritual body. Oh, I will have this is my siddhadeha, this is the perfect body, spiritual body I will serve Krishna in. I have some idea. And one is chanting Hare Krishna with these two ideas. It's called Radha Nishtha, having firm faith in the lotus feet of Radharani, and at the same time aspiring and thinking of one's spiritual form as a mandri, for example, but not specific. That's Ayananda Tanaja. Then, by continually performing bhajan in this way, all anarthas will be removed, and one will receive the eligibility to attain one's siddha deha. So that's the sixth shloka, which is that's nine. So then he says, and adhikara na labhya siddhadeha bhave viparyaye bhuri janme shaktira abhave. The translation is here in the purport. As long as this is a kind of a, this is like an atom bomb for some people here. As long as anarthas are present, I mean here means, like, let's say, maybe here in Radhakund, as long as anarthas are present, one can never attain one's siddhadeha. The intelligence of those who try to contemplate their siddhadeha without sufficient qualification becomes spoiled due to their lack of strength, and their entire bhajan is ruined. So this is a little bit of a sticky phrase here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This wouldn't go over too good on some of the websites that are circulating the globe these days. But he's saying, he's giving the bhajan kram, the sequence of bhajan, based on the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is teaching Radhadasyam. He's teaching the loving service of Radha and Krishna and Brajabhav. And he's teaching a systematic and progressive way to attain such final goal of life. In the Shikshastakam, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is simply clarifying and presenting everything in a very clear way, so there's no room for kalpana and imagination in regards to the practice of bhakti to attain the desired result of the service of Radharani's feet. He says, Adhikara na labhya siddhadeha bhave viparyaya buddhi janmi shaktihir bhave. Viparyaya means upside down. If one doesn't attain qualification, adhikara na labhya, he doesn't attain qualification this way, then his bhav, his siddhadeya bhav, it will not arise. His intelligence will become upside down. And then he explains, Dhanadhar Maharaj ki jai ho, swagatam, swagatam. Ahobhagya, Ahobhagya.
It took so long today.
Yes.
We went by one of those bike rickshaws, and we just had someone who just didn't move.
Gotcha.
Just took so long.
We're discussing this one verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu along the same concept of faith. This is text number 10 in Bhajan Rahasyam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a very specific purport to this verse where he's explaining the bhajan kram, or the sequence or system of bhajan based on shikshastikam, and how we come to the point of realizing our siddhadeya. And this isn't exactly what's told in the verse he quotes. The verse he quotes is a glorification of the holy name. But then he becomes inspired by Rupa Goswami's verse that he quotes and gives a very detailed and specific explanation of how one comes to realizing his sarup by explaining each aspect of shikshastikam. So he was telling here, his panchama shlokite nija siddha deha bhara ai shloke siddha deha rada parashraya. This is a little bit of review. Aramba karya krame unati udaya. He's saying that when one comes to this fifth shloka, which is ai nanda tanushik, you know, that verse in the shikshastikam, then he will actually, he's saying, just read specifically, because in this purport, the author is actually translating. He says, when one comes to this verse and achieves the bhajan of this verse, one should perform the sentiments contained, bhajan according to the sentiments contained in the fifth verse, and one should contemplate one's perfect spiritual body, siddhadeya, which gradually develops by taking exclusive shelter of Srimati Radhika's feet. So this is Ayananda Tanajagam. That is, if one has progressively gone through the other shlokas of Shikshastikam, he will be able to understand what it means to exclusively take shelter of Radharani's feet, which means to be absorbed and not be Kirtaniya Sadahari, which is the third verse, right? Srinadapi Sunichina. That represents Nishta. Then Ruchi means he has no desire. It's not like today I take Siddha Pranali and I'm at Manjri and I have my Ekadash Bhav. The 11th sentence of my spiritual form have been revealed to me. And I'm absorbed in my bhajan, meditating on Yogapit and doing service to the Astakali Lila in my Siddhadeya, in the association of my Guru and his Siddhadeya. And then 2 months later I marry another Manjri. I mean, it's a little, you know, it's not exactly like San Francisco in the spiritual world. The Manjris don't get married to other Manjris. In this world, maybe things go on like that. But we're talking about a prakriti vastu in the spiritual world. So, living here and seeing all these things, we very much feel appreciative and grateful that somehow we've come under the shelter of the Rupa Nugadhara in a pure form as represented by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his illustrious son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and our beloved Gurudev, because they certainly saved us from a lot of misconception. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he goes on to say, and then he says in it, Chaya shloka bhajite anartha dure gela tave jana siddhadehe adhikara haila. So he's talking about the Shikshastikam, the sixth shloka. And here he says, by continuously performing bhajan in this way, which is means taking shelter of Radharani's feet and contemplating in a general way one siddhadeya, then all anarthas will be removed and one will receive the adhikar or eligibility to attain one siddhadeya. And this is the atom bomb for the followers of misconception. At least from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Adam Bhav. Adhikara nalabhya siddhadeha bhave viparyaya bhuri janme shaktire abhave. In the translation, as long as anarthas are present, one can never attain one siddhadeha. The The intelligence of those who try to contemplate their Siddhadeya without sufficient qualification becomes spoiled due to their lack of strength, and their entire bhajan is ruined. And then he says, and he goes on in his krama, he says, Savadhane krama dara jari siddhi chao sadura charita deki shudhabuddhi pao. He says, but this is called sahajiya bhav, and it is thoroughly opposed to pure bhajan. If there is an honest desire to attain perfection, one should carefully adopt the gradual, that's what he says, savadana, right? Savadana krama dhara. One should carefully adopt the gradual process of bhajan, as mentioned previously, and follow the path of Sri Rupa, Sri Raghunath, and other Mahajans who are expert in bhajan. And then Bhaktivinoda says in the seventh verse here, Siddhadeya peye krame bhajana karile ashtakala seva sukha anayase mile. By performing bhajan in this way and having obtained one's siddhadeha, one easily attains the happiness of astakalya seva, service to Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes during the eight periods of the day. So that's what this, that's a translation of siddhadeha peye krame bhajan karile ashtakala seva sukha anayase mile. Shikshastaka chinta kara smarana kirtan krame ashtakala seva habe uripan. Therefore, contemplating the sentiments of the of Shikshastaka through smarana and kirtan will gradually stimulate ashtakaliya seva. So this is, in other words, Shikshastakam is not a 1 minute practice. After the Mangalarti, everyone recites and wrote Chaita Dhavaram Shriya, everyone half asleep. It's meant to be our daily bhajan and our meditation, one by one. We may just stay in the first shloka for a few years or a few months or whatever, until all the treasures and secrets and rahasya of that shloka is revealed and brings us up to the proper standard and proper level to progress to the next shloka. This is what the intention of Lord Chaitanya is. In other words, he's put the entire Vedas, and when we were giving our introduction, we have to remember these eight shlokas are the entire Vedas. The entirety of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is compressed into eight shlokas. So how can we just race through all eight shlokas in 1 minute or 1 day? So this is our lifetime. This is our krama. This is the sequence of bhajan, how we do. This is eight steps to perfection. Sometimes karmis are materialistic people. They write books, eight steps to heaven, nine steps to perfection. Or they have some famous business book or something. What is this? Kavi? Somebody Kavi? He's like a poet? Kavi? He's a Vaishnava poet?
He's Kavi.
Anyway, whatever his name is. But he wrote some kind of book, Seven Steps to Success or whatever. What is it? Anyway, I don't know. I failed. I certainly failed in the business world, and I hope I don't repeat my failure in this world. But like this, so we'll just finish this one last. Sakala narta jabe pabe premadan chaturvarga fagu praya habe adarshan. And then translation of this. All anarthas will be removed by this process, and one will easily be able to attain prema dharma. At that time, the four ultimate goals of human life, purush arthas, dharma, art, kam, moksha, will appear very insignificant. In other words, in the face of prema, then who cares about varna and ashram dharma or the perfection therein, the purush artha. Sakala anartha jave pave premadan chaturvarga fagu praya habe adarshan. So this is, for some reason, in the 10th verse before Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins his discussion, or even mentions it, the Chaitodarpana Marjanam verse, he's giving this outline here of the bhajan krama according to Shikshastakam. And then the entirety of the book is further elaboration on this Bengali shloka, basically. Now, In the last seven verses of this chapter, text 30 through 37, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is getting very more specific about the bhajan in terms of external practice and internal practice. But all of these points can be considered under the category of shraddha. So I wrote a small introduction. In these verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the proper method of nam sadhana that will bring one from shraddha to prem. In these verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by citing these various references, he is teaching the external internal details of bhajan in relation to the first verse of Shikshastakam. So we'll just read those verses. Okay. Well, first of all, the whole first verse, Chaito Dharvana Marchanam, is all about the... he mentions some... cites some Vedic verses, text 27 and 28, about Om. We'll just kind of skip over that. But what he's trying to say is... I just kind of made an outline here. He says, the holy name is glorified in the Vedas, because sometimes people say, where is the concept of Nam Bhajan coming from? So, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to explain that Nam... He says here... even the Rig Vedas, because the original Vedas, of course, the original Veda was, I believe, Atharva Veda, and they were split into four by four disciples of Vyasadeva. They disseminated it. So he wants to say that Nam Bhajan begins with the Rig Veda. So it's ancient, it's authorized, it's ancient, it's eternal, because it's accepted that the Vedas are eternal sound vibration, Shabda Brahman. So he says here that even the Shrutis like Rig Veda are glorifying Nam Tattva. Of course, they're not specifically glorifying the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but glorifying the principle of Shabda Brahman, which Hare Krishna mantra is the perfection and the completion, or the Purna, it's a complete expression of Shabda Brahman as the Mahamantra. So this is, we can say, oh, this is Nam Bhajan, it's some new thing. Bhaktivinoda says, no, it's not a new thing. It's not. It didn't even begin with Lord Chaitanya. It begins with the Rig Veda. So he cites this verse, which is text 27. Om ityetad brahmano nideshtam nama yasmad ucharyamana eva samsarabhayat tarayati tasmad uchite tarayati. One who chants Om, which is very close to Brahman, here meaning Bhagavan, and which indicates Brahman, is liberated from the fear of the material world by this name. Therefore, Om is famous by the name Taraka Brahma. Taraka means Taranti, or deliverer. So by chanting Om, in previous ages, one would attain at least liberation from the world of birth and death. So we have a note here that even the ancient Vedas, the original Shrutis, like Rig Veda, proclaim the glories of Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan in a hidden way in the word Om, which appears everywhere in the Shrutis and the original Vedas. Then again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites another verse, Om. Asya Jananto Namachid Vivaktan Mahaste Vishnu Samatim Bhajamahe Om Tat Sat. So here he's saying that the holy name, or Shabda Brahman, is the personification of transcendental bliss. Translation. O Vishnu, all the Vedas appear from your name, which is fully conscious and all illuminating. Your name is the perfection of transcendence and supreme bliss, and is the embodiment of easily obtainable transcendental knowledge. I worship you by thoughtfully performing continuous chanting of your name. And then text 29 is that this verse, he says, doesn't say where it's from, but it's also from the Veda. Tato bhutivrit omkaro yo vakta pravavasvarat yatta lingam bhagavato brahmana paramatmanaha. Sri Bhagavan is imperceptible. He is both undivided and divided. The syllables found in the word Om are his manifestation, and he is manifest in three forms of Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. The three syllables in Omkar represent the names Hare, Krishna, and Ram. The name of Hari is not different from Hari himself. So the point here, one note is made, the imperceptible Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is certainly present in Om, which is the most ancient mantra in existence since beginningless creation. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Nam Bhajan is ancient, it's eternal, it's always been existing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu systematized it and popularized it, and because it is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. And he presented it in such a complete way that whereas chanting Om in previous ages would bring one at best to the point of liberation or Brahmasayuja Mukti. But now that Shabda Brahman appearing as the Radhan Krishna, the Mahamantra, will bring one into the Vrajagokul in a full revelation of one's eternal spiritual form to engage in loving service to the Lord. So this is Bhaktivinoda, when one hears this, the idea is Bhaktivinoda is trying to develop and increase the faith. Now these verses, he starts to get, because this is the closing of the chapter, verses 30 through 38, which I mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins to explain some of the details of bhajan, which are mentioned by Lord Chaitanya in Shikshastakam. He begins in text 30 by citing a teaching of Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, chapter 23, text 76 or 78. Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe, kahi lam, e maha mantra, iha japa giya sabe, karya nibanda, iha haite sarva siddhi, haive sambhar, sarvakshana bhalat ite virinahi ar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, regularly chant japa of this maha mantra. In this way you will attain all perfection. Chant at any time and in any circumstance. There are no other rules for chanting. So these three verses, we look those verses up in Chaitanya Bhagavat, and 76, 77, and 78. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given some description. So Lord Chaitanya, we should believing in the words of God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's promising here in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Hare Krishna mantra will give me all perfection. Therefore, I should chant with great faith and enthusiasm. This is why this verse Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing, to give us faith in chanting, because God himself has come as Lord Chaitanya and said, yes, Hare Krishna. He's telling the Mahamantra, this mantra, it will give you everything, you see. He says, Sarva Siddhi, Sabhar, you'll get all perfections. In the commentary in verse 76, which is the Maha Mantra actually, Bhaktisiddhanta says, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a vocative address which indicates self-surrender. In other words, if you say Radha, if I'm saying Radha, Radha, that means you're just saying the name. But when you're calling, you're actually calling out or crying out to a person named Radha, then you won't say Radha, you'll say Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So that's called vocative. This is a particular tense. So the Maha Mantra is considered a vocative mantra. It's a mantra that's coming from the heart. It's a cry. Because we say Hare, we don't say Hara, we say Hare. So that word Hare, which is feminine, indicates the Shakti of the Lord. But it's put in vocative, which means you're actually crying. So this Bhaktisiddhanta says that this, because it's in the vocative tense, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which Lord Chaitanya mentions in chapter 23 of Madhya Lila, verse 76 of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya, this Maha Mantra is a vocative address, which indicates self-surrender. Mayavadis sometimes chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, but they consider themselves Atmaram. In other words, Mayavadis, I remember there was one in Berkeley in 1978, I was with one godbrother, Krishna Balaram Das, from Vrindavan, you know, he's sannyasi. And we went to Berkeley, or actually, Oakland, Oakland, somewhere near Berkeley, some place. Went to this place near Berkeley. There was a Swami there named Muktananda, and he would have kirtan every night and then give some discussion. So he would chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So afterwards, we met with him. We went there and we said, we want to discuss with you, what is your, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, what is your meaning? What are you meaning? What is your idea? And he says, I don't want to talk with you. And Krishna Balaram was speaking to him in Hindi. And he was trying to engage him in some debate. And finally, he said, everything, I'm Brahman, you're Brahman, because he's Mayavadi. Muktananda was Mayavadi. Because all the Mayavadi sannyasis, they have the name Ananda. Chinmay Ananda, Sarup Ananda, Abed Ananda, Muktananda. So this is their an Ananda. So finally he became very agitated because we were persistent. We said, well, you're chanting and you're leading all these young people in Oakland, near Berkeley. And so because we have a conception of the Maha Mantra, we want to understand what is your conception. He became rather agitated and he didn't want to discuss it. And he just said, it's Brahman, everything's Brahman. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's saying here, Mayavadis, like this person, they sometimes chant the Maha Mantra, considering themselves Atmaram, one who takes pleasure in the self. But devotees chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, to attain the service of Radharaman. So I thought that's a very, very poetic and clever presentation of Bhaktisiddhanta. They chant Hare Krishna, Namo Narayan, I'm Narayan, you're Narayan, I'm self-satisfied, you're self-satisfied, we're all one, Atmaram. And we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, to attain the service of Radharaman. So it's vocative. We're begging, we're crying, and we're offering ourselves, our Atma, our body. Self-surrender means offering oneself, one's body, one's mind, one's heart, one's consciousness, one's words, at the lotus feet of Radharaman and Radharadharaman, at the lotus feet of the Holy Name, for the service and pleasure of the Holy Name. So now in this verse 77, where Lord Chaitanya mentions the concept of Karya Nirbandha, Japa Gya Sabai Karya Nirbandha. Lord Chaitanya is telling me we should chant the Maha Mantra, Japa Gya Karya Nirbandha. Of course, some acharyas, they say that Nirbandha means 64 rounds. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in this particular place, he gives a comment, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be loudly chanted at every moment. Because later, which is not mentioned here, in verse 79 of this sequence of verses, Lord Chaitanya says, 5 or 10 people can sit together at home and perform Hare Krishna Kirtan while clapping their hands. So the word Nirbandha means to chant the holy name according to a fixed number of rounds. So when Lord Chaitanya is saying here, Japa Gya Sabe Kariya Nirbandha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, this means that we should chant the Hare Krishna Nirbandha, because he's taking, Nirbandha means no break. Band means to break. Nikunja Bandha, Banga or Bandha. So Nirbandha means without break. So taking that meaning of the word, without break or without cessation, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is telling here, in this commentary, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Kirtaniya Sadahari, chant the holy name at every moment. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati supports that by saying, two verses later, Lord Chaitanya says, 5 or 10 people can sit together at home and perform kirtan while clapping their hands. In text 78, Lord Chaitanya says, Sarvakshana bala itte vidinahiyar. Chant at any time and in any circumstance, there are no other rules. So the commentary is, Sarvakshana bala means always chant. This phrase refutes the idea that the Maha Mantra is only meant to be chanted softly. So that's the purport. The idea that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is understanding, Lord Chaitanya is telling us that we should always chant, and especially audibly. So now text 31. So this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And here, the same word appears near Bandini. Achiradeva savartaha siddhapyesham abhipshita sadharmasya vabodaya yesham nirbandani mati. The holy name is the bestower of all perfection, and those who continuously chant Harinam with such firm faith and conviction quickly attain the fruit of prema. So this is a verse about about Shraddha, and telling us that this will increase our faith, because we will very quickly, that's why it says abhipshita, very quickly we will attain the prema by this method. So now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati starts to explain more. The purport of this verse says, one who has a firm desire in his heart to know Sadharma, which is mentioned in the verse, or true religion, will very quickly have his inner desire fulfilled. The perfection and inner desire of devotees is to attain the service of Govinda's lotus feet. This service is realized by affectionately completing one's fixed amount of nam. That's a nice adjective or adverb there. Affectionately completing one's fixed number of nam. By firmly chanting a fixed number of harinam, prema will be incited in the heart of the sadhaka by the mercy of Nam Prabhu. Day and night, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakhs of harinam with determination. His vow was, Kanda Kanda Hayadheya Jaya Jari Paran Tabuami Bharanena Chari Harinam. This was in relation, I believe this was in relation to his being beaten in 21 marketplaces. Even if my body is cut to pieces, Kanda Kanda means broken into pieces, Jari Pran, my pran leaves my body, my life air exits, I will never stop chanting the Harinam. Ami Varane Na Chari Harinam. I will never give up. Literally, it says, my face, Varane, my face, my mouth will never give up Harinam. I will never stop chanting Harinam. So this is certainly a very firm statement of determination to chant all the time. What to speak of finishing 16 rounds? So this word is coming up a few times here from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, Nirbandha. So Nirbandha, it means fixed number, and in the glorification of the activities, external and internal activities of the six Goswami, Srinivasacharya mentioned Sankhya, which means number. Because often people ask, why do we have to chant a fixed number of rounds? And why can't we just chant whatever we feel like it? But this is the process of bhajan, given by the Lord and practiced by all of his devotees. They chanted a Nirbandha, a fixed number, or Sankhya, a fixed number of rounds every day. And this is, it's because when Lord Chaitanya is saying it, he's saying, if you want to please me, or if you want to please Radha and Krishna, and want to please Nam Prabhu, then you have to make a fixed offering. It must have shape. It can't be left to your, you can say, speculation or your imagination. Oh, today I'll chant 5, today I'll chant 10. Because Krishna understands that our minds are very chanchal. So in order to bring our minds and to capture our minds and fix our minds on Krishna, he demands fixed number. It must be Nirbandha. It must be Sankhya. So this is Lord, first of, in his teachings on bhajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his teaching the krama, or the sequence of bhajan, he's starting off with this very important point. First, he's just trying to establish faith in the holy name by elaborating the meaning of Shikshastakam, Chaitodarpanam Arjanam. Now he's starting to get more specific. We have to chant the holy name. Well, how? How, when, where, why, and all these things. Now he's trying to establish this point. Nirbandha. Nirbandha means fixed number. Nirbandha also means fixed determination. And then the commentary says, this is a good example for determination. We quoted this verse in our Art of Chanting book, Kanda Kanda Hai Prana, from Haridas Thakur, that even if I'm chopped up to pieces and cut to pieces, I won't stop chanting Hare Krishna. But in our case, if we get a little flu or a virus, and our throat gets choked up and our nose gets stuffed up, then our bead bag takes a rest. Our bead bag goes on the hook, and you know, that's it. So this isn't exactly the way to do bhajan. So this isn't the one point. Now he goes on, because this is the end of this chapter, and it's very specific. Hari Bhakti Vilas gives the following instructions. So now Bhakti Vinod Thakur, you can imagine he's chanting the holy name in bhava and prem, and he's meditating on Shikshastakam. Then he's thinking, what can I write, and how can I teach everyone how to do bhajan, and what verses are important, most important and selective. So he starts going through. He says, what sadhana will take one from Shraddha to Prem? Well, it's the sadhana of Nam Bhajan. So now he says, well, you must chant a fixed number of rounds. Now he starts to give the practical details how to chant. So in this verse 32, he gives an external aspect of Nam Sadhana. External aspect means Japamala. No, we have to chant on Japamala. So he says, this is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. So it's important because sometimes people go in the market and they buy a mala and it's not even Tulsi. It's neem, or they see some rosewood beads and they say, oh, that looks cute. You know, some lady, I've met people that say, they say, I'm chanting Japa. I say, what kind of beads do I have? And they say, oh, I have these nice brown ones. And I said, that's gulab. That's for Durga. That's for chanting Katyayani mantra. They said, oh, no one ever told me. They were selling them at the temple. Because at the temple they sell rosewood and rudraksha and tulsi and neem and everything. Tulsi kashta gatitair manibir japa malika sarvakarmani sarvesham ipsharta falaprada gopuja sarishi karya yadva sarpatriti shubha tarjanya na sprishet sutram kampayan na vidunayat angushta paramadyashtam parivartam samacharet na sprishet vamahastena karabhrashtam na karayet mukto mukto tata krishto madhya mayam cha pet sudhi. There's very important instructions here from Hari Bhakti Vilas that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants us to understand clearly and apply in our practice of Nam Bhajan. Someone may say that this sounds very simplistic, but let's look at it. A japa mala made of tulsi or precious stones, tulsi kashta gatiter, or money beer, money means jewel, japa malika. A japa mala made of tulsi wood or gems, if you want to get a mala made of diamonds, that's no, you can do that, fulfills all kinds of inner desires. A japa mala shaped like a cow's tail or a snake is auspicious. That's why it says sarpa kriti shubha. It says go pucha sarishi karya. Generally, if you go to Bengal, in a place called, I think it's Varaha, something like Varna Nagar or Varaha Nagar, there's a museum there. It's a place of bhajan of Bhagavat Acharya. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya visited there. Have you ever been there? Varaha Nagar? It's about an hour and a half north or so of Calcutta, kind of like on the way to Mayapur. Subhag Maharaj took me there. It's run by the Nittai Gaur people, because they have all those places, you know, Garbhastan and everything. And they do nice, you know, they take care of things nicely. And there, it's called Varaha Nagar. You can ask Subhag about it. Varaha Nagar. They have a museum. And it's very funny when you go there. In the museum, several hundred years old, almost maybe, I don't know, maybe from time of Lord Chaitanya. And they have glass cases and they have little bottles. It reminds me of Jagatarini because years ago she was doing things like this, so maybe she got the idea from there. They have these glass bottles with water from Prem Sarovar and Pavan Sarovar and all places in Vrindavan because people in Bengal, that's some, you know, that's, oh, their aspiration is all to go to Vrindavan, of course, any Gaudiya Vaishnava. And then they have little vials of dust from Nidibhan and dust from all these places. And then they have kamandalu or whatever those, there's a different name, but those clay pots with a little spout on them, like the six Goswamis would carry. And they have the names, who's who. Then they have the japamala. They have Rasikananda's japamala, Srinivasacharya, all the, and then they have the original painting of Narottam Das, Srinivas, and, I don't know, whoever. There's like five, you know, these famous painting of these different, five Kavirajas or something. They have some very interesting and wonderful things, japa beads and painting, ancient paintings of Panchatattva and Narottam and all these things. So the one thing that struck me was they have many ancient japa beads, and they're all like kind of, many of them are a little bit eaten up by bugs and stuff. Because Tulsi is not particularly, it's not like neem wood, which bugs don't eat so much. Tulsi, they eat Tulsi. But all of them were like this. All these japa beads of these great personalities were all like this. They're all like shaped like a cow's tail or a snake. And what that means is is like what you see is that there's a head bead, and one side there's a big bead, and then it goes to a little bead. So if you were to cut away, break the circle and hang the beads down, there's a big bead, and it goes big, 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 small, 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 small. So if you look at a snake, the snake's head is fat, it's like this, and then it goes to the tail is small. If you look at a cow's tail, the end of the tail is kind of fat, and then it goes, where it comes out of the body, it's thin. So this, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, although I know that Ayendra Prabhu is kind of a propagator of the madranga-shaped beads, he has mridanga-shaped beads, and most of his followers also have beads that are shaped like like mridangas.
Can you show that to us?
And I've asked him. Maybe they go fat to, they go big to small also. Okay, so I've asked him. Can he? Because some people get mridanga beads and they're just all the same size, each one of them. And I said, can you show me where it says that we should have mridanga-shaped beads? And he said he read it somewhere. So. Maybe he did. I haven't seen it. It's not mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, if it's Bhav Vichar, then that's no problem. Because, Lord Chaitanya didn't chant on any beads. And so he chanted on his fingers, and he had a knotted string around his waist, which he counted on. Kati Sutra. It's called Kati Sutra. So ultimately, and we see the devotees, when they're arrested in Russia, and they were put in the jail in the psychiatry wards, they were chanting on brown bread balls. In the psychiatric clinics, they were given brown bread and water. So they would take the bread balls, and then when it was fresh, and they would roll them, they'd take the bread and break it into little balls, and then they would roll it and put a hole in it, and then it would be hard, they would get dry in the weather, and then they would string up japa beads out of brown bread. I was told by the devotees. And they had 108 japa malas, brown bread japa mala. So ultimately it doesn't make so much difference. It's you should chant Shuddha Nam. But at least Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his discussion is saying our beads should be shaped like this. And practically speaking, this is the tradition that's come down, that practically every set of beads for Vaishnavas is like this. Big bead, one big round bead goes to a small bead. Because I had seen these beads, and I've seen many beads. And if you go to Vrindavan Research Institute, they also have old beads. And in my experience, I've never seen any mridanga beads except from Ayendra. So maybe Ayendra has another page of Hari Bhakti Vilas or something that he can show us. But because he's very convincing. So we had a debate about this. But with Ayendra, you always lose. And there's no question of winning any debate with Ayendra. Because I said, well, Hari Bhakti Vilas says like this, and Prabhupada's beads were like this, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's beads were like this. I had darshan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beads. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beads were given to Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta's beads were given to Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj's beads are now in the hands, in the loving hands of, Bhakti Bodayan. Bhakti something Bodayan Maharaj, who is the successor acharya of their mission. And when I saw them, because when Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj would initiate devotees in Harinam, he would take his beads out of his bag, and he would touch his head bead to the disciples' new disciples had beaten. He said, so whatever mercy is coming from the parampara, these are Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beads, and I'm touching his beads to yours, so may you receive all his blessings. And when he took his beads out of his bead bag, they looked like yellow sapphires, or like yellow topaz. They looked translucent. I mean, it was an incredible experience. He took them out, and I was watching there when some friends of mine from some Indian friends were getting Harinam in Puri. And I was looking at them. I said, Maharaj, they look like jewels. They look like it says your money, dear Japa Malika. And he said, no. I said, they're Tulsi? I couldn't believe it. I asked him. I said, they're Tulsi. He said, yes, they're Tulsi. And they were glowing. They were like glowing like Radharani. They were golden color, like goldish brown, and beautiful, beautiful beads. But again, they were shaped like the big to small. So. Anyway, these are some details that are mentioned here. So a japa mala shaped like a cow's tail or a snake is auspicious. So, right. One should not touch the japa mala with the forefinger. Excuse me, one acharya explains that our bead bag, the shape of the bead bag, if you look at the outline of a bead bag, and it looks something like the shape of a human heart. So the japa bag represents our heart. And the index finger, this is what they call index finger. Well, here it says the forefinger, index finger. It represents false ego. So that's why we keep the index finger out of the bead bag, because we're supposed to keep our false ego out of our heart. Because unless our heart is pure, we can't serve Krishna and attain Krishna. So this finger, which is used for condemning, we condemn someone, we curse someone. Cursing and condemning is going on when there's a clash of false egos. Dravasa Muni was always pointing his finger at somebody and cursing them. You this, that, you become a rat, cat, this, that. So we should keep our forefinger out of our bead bag and keep false ego out of our heart. Right? Krishna Nityadas, Dasana Dasana Das. If we're always acting like that way, we're always acting in that conception and feeling in that conception, then there'll be no room for false ego to arise. Well, one should not swing or shake the japa mala again and again while chanting. Of course, I know some devotees are pretty active when they chant japa. I mean, these are like the fine details. But Prabhupada was very tolerant. He would not enforce so many of these rules. He was happy to see the boys and girls sitting together in the temple chanting whatever way they would do it. Sometimes the beads were flying around here and there. And even one great devotee, he never chanted with his beads in his bead bag. And his bead bag would be around his neck, and as soon as he would take them out, and he would hold them in both hands like this. And then he had this kind of style of japa, that he would just keep bending forward, holding his beads like this and bending them. Because that, he said that would keep him, you know, he had like a momentum going, so he never fell asleep, because if he did, he'd crack his head open. But he would bend down forward this way, you know, just like rocking, but very fast. And holding his beads like this and going around, you know, like this. And Prabhupada, and he chanted many times in front of Srila Prabhupada. He was initiated in 1967 in San Francisco, and I also have seen him chant, and that was his way of chanting. Prabhupada didn't seem to mind. The father is very tolerant with the children. If the children are basically behaving all right, then the father is happy. But the key thing is that although he wasn't observing some of the fine points of the technicalities of what we call proper chanting, the real thing is that he was chanting Shuddha Nam. And that Prabhupada later certified. So, but can't imitate such great personalities, so we'll keep our beads in the bead bag, keep our false ego out of the heart, and follow these instructions of Hari Bhakti Vilas. Chant and change the direction of the mala using the thumb and the middle finger. So when you go to the head bead, you're supposed to You're not supposed to bring it. You're supposed to just, well, we do it automatically, but you just change direction. You go this way and then go back this way. Right, just use the thumb. Do not touch the mala with the left hand and do not let the beads fall from the hand. Hare Krishna, when you fall asleep, you don't have much choice. But those who desire material enjoyment, bhukti, and those who desire liberation, chant with the middle finger. Of course, we all chant with the middle finger. This is the middle finger. But actually, I think what they mean to say, I think the translation maybe is it means a different joint. What was the... yeah. Anyway, that's what it says. We chant, we're supposed to chant between the second and third joints, right? We chant with the thumb and the middle finger, but on between the, this is first joint and second joint. So it's there. I think what it says, we should not chant, we're not supposed to chant with the tips of the fingers. Sometimes ladies do that, they chant like this. This tips of the fingers, right? Anyway, this is some basic things. Now it says, although it is mentioned, it's a purport, that although it is mentioned that one can use japa of gems, such mala is not used in our sampradaya. So we use tulsi beads. Also it is mentioned that chanting with the middle finger is for those desiring sense enjoyment liberation. Nonetheless, we chant in this way because we should follow the method adopted by our guru parampara. So this is, we chant with the middle finger because all of our acharyas chanted that way. So that this is an external consideration, and this is an internal aspect of Nam Sadhana, which will help one progress from Shraddha to Prem. These are some rules. Mana samharanam shocham monam mantra chintanam avyagratvam anirveda japa sampati hetava. So here, Hari Bhakti Vilas is speaking about japa, very much like yoga. He's talking about ekagrata. He's saying avyagratvam anirveda and mancharta chintanam. There should be fixed mind. The mind should be fixed on one point. So he says, translation, while chanting, one should be one-pointed and give up talking about mundane topics. With a pure heart, one should think about the meaning of the holy name and be steadfast and patient in his chanting and remembrance of the holy name. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives his small Bengali version of this. Japa kale manake ekabra bhave laha chitte shurataka vritta katanahi kaha namata chintaha sada dayashrayakar namete adharakari krishna namasmar. He says, so it's interesting because in this verse from Hari Bhakti Vitlas, it says mantra artha chintanam. One should think over the meaning of the mantra, because this verse is in the Shruti, and it's talking, when it's talking about mantra in this case, it's referring to Gopal mantra or some other mantra that one should deeply think over the meaning. And in his Bengali rendition of this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has changed the word mantra artha to nam artha chintaha. It's very significant. Nam artha chintaha. Instead of mantra artha chintaha, he says, nam artha, we should consider the meaning of the name of Krishna. While chanting japa, remembering Krishna's name, one should remember Krishna's name with affection and respect. We should fix the mind only on chanting. We should be pure in mind and avoid useless talk. And while chanting, we should contemplate the meaning of the Maha Mantra and always remain patient. It says, Sada Daraya Ashraya Karha. We should take shelter. We should take shelter of patience. So the the particular words of this verse are explained in the purport. So it's very interesting because in this purport, this concept of nam artha chintana, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has five aspects, and this is called panch anga nam sarana. So I'll read this purport. The method for one to perfect the chanting of his mantras, both Harinam and Gayatri, is described in this text. The phrase in this verse, mana samharanam, means that while chanting the holy name, one should fix the mind on the desired name of the Lord and remember pastimes connected with that name. The mind of the conditioned soul wanders to different subject matters. Therefore, one should stay in the association of sadhus and control the mind through renunciation and practice. Two. These are all the words in the verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Shocha. This word means shuchi or cleanliness. It is necessary for the sadhaka to maintain a standard of external cleanliness by bathing and so forth, and to keep his mind pure through internal cleanliness. One can keep his mind pure by bringing the six enemies, that means kama, krodha, lobha, moha, headed by lust under control. In this way, his mind will not be attracted to anything other than Krishna. Mon means silence. Some people take mon brata. To speak only Bhagavad Katha and reject talk which is unrelated to Krishna is known as mon. Srila Prabhupada also gave that definition. That silence means to be silent. Don't talk anything about, never say a word about Maya. Never talk about illusion, but always speak about Krishna. So this is the perfection of silence. One should not talk about anything mundane while chanting. So this is a type of mon brata, that when one's chanting, he should take a vow. Okay, now, sometimes saints, to control their senses and control their mind, they take mon brata for 1 week or 1 month, or sometimes for a few years, where they won't speak anything. They'll chant mantra silently, but they won't speak to anyone. So we can take a 2 hour, every day we can take a 2 hour mon brat. We can make a manasik sankalpa. Okay, my dear Lord Krishna, I'm going to chant japa. So please give me the strength to perform mon brat for until I finish my fixed number of rounds. And then you can have it right on a little piece of paper. I'm doing mon brat. And anybody comes to ask you anything by chanting japa, you just show them the paper. Oh, he's doing mon brat. So mon brat is very famous traditional practice among saints. But I've kind of come up with a new vow. It's called phone brat. P-H-O-N-E, phone, as in telephone. So it's called taking your cell phone and turning it off. It's called phone brat. This summer I did a phone brat for 3 weeks. It was really wonderful. Because saints say, if you ever want to have a nice experience, you can also do mon brat. We've done a few times in our lives, for 1 week at a time and one time 10 days in Puri, mon brat. It means we chant mantra quietly, but we won't speak to anyone that may come our way. And it's very nice. It's like taste of the pudding is, or what is it? Proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So mon brat may be a little bit unreasonable, but, and maybe even phone brat. But phone brat is very nice. At least you can say, okay, from this time to this time, my phone is turned off. Right? When you go to some of these Hari Katas in Bhagavat Saptaha, some of these speakers, they tell the people, they say, if you want to attend my Kata, you have to switch your phone off. These professional Bhagavat recite, because people are in the middle of Kata, and they're speaking, blah, blah, blah. And therefore, they're not listening to the Bhagavat Kata, the Saptaha. So this is a rule that they have to turn off, you know, their phone. And if they get caught, they get expelled. They lose their privilege to come to the Saptaha. So if we do this phone brat, you'll see how much peaceful your life can be. It's a little bit of a joke, but also you can realistically, if it's feasible, But the idea Mon brought during japa is very good, that we should personally take this sankalpa that my Krishna, these 3 hours are for you. I'm taking Mon brought. I'm not going to, and we actually make a sankalpa before we begin. Please, my dear Lord Krishna, please give me the ability to fix myself in the holy name, not be distracted, not to talk to anyone, and perform this Mon brought. Avyagrata, which is the same as in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, says Ekagrata. The restless nature of the unsteady mind is called Vyagrata. One should chant with Avyagrata, a peaceful and undisturbed mind. Anyaved. One should not be discouraged by moving slowly in his endeavor to attain the desired goal. Rather, one should chant with patience. Now, these are this is what we gave this idea. There's five principles here. These are taken from Hari Bhakti Vilas, and these are five principles which are required when chanting Nam. We should practice in order to, and it's called Panchanga Nam Sadhana. Panch means five and Anga means limbs of Nam Sadhana. So the first one, which is mentioned in this verse, is Mancha Artha Chintana, or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nam Artha Chintaha. To reflect on the meaning of the name while chanting. So the first anga is this. The sadhaka should know the meaning of the mantra and remember the predominating deity of the mantra devata, and his own specific relationship with that deity. So this is a brief explanation of sambandha gyan. We should chant with sambandha gyan. Two, nyas. There's different meanings of nyas, but this is one explanation. The deity of the mantra is my protector. This conviction is called nyas. It is true that success can be attained by uttering the mantra one time only. Nonetheless, the mantra is uttered 10 or 108 times for the pleasure of the mantra devata. This is also called nyas. In other words, when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, we're thinking that this is one of the six symptoms of surrender. That feeling and fully believing that Krishna is my protector, rakshishititi vishvaso. This is, so we accept. Because when a devotee is in difficulty, any difficulty, he'll always say, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Although after some years, ISKCON, after several years ISKCON was up and running, the Nisringa prayer was introduced in 1973 or something like that. But before that, there was no idea that if someone was in difficulty, they would say, Hey Nisringa, or Nisringadev, or Tavakara Kamala. In 66, 67, 68, 69, and so many the beginning years, if any demons came, or some opposition came, or outwardly or inwardly, the devotees would simply chant more loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The car is about to roll over or crash. No one was chanting Tavakara, or Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it's interesting if someone can trace out, because nowadays people they seem to remember turn to Nrisimhadev more than Hare Krishna. So everyone can think about that themselves. But that's a whole other idea. But this nyas, the deity of the mantra is my protector. So Radha and Krishna are my everything. More Pranadan, Arishtadev is Radha and Krishna. Our goal in life is to attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Our constant meditation is Radha and Krishna. If we're not clear on these ideas, we can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Ramananda Sambhag. Because through the mouth of Srila Ramananda Roy, who is no other than herself, Ramananda Roy is non different from Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya is also Radharani at this time in Radhabhav. And Vishakha, Ramananda Roy, through the mouth of Vishakha, Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing the Sambandha Avideya and Prayojana of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the verses of Ramananda Samvag, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8. So there's a series of questions asked by Mahaprabhu, which is all related to this point of Nyas. He said, who should we worship? among all worshipable things, who should we worship among all worshipable deities? Radhan Krishna, Ramananda Roy says. And what songs should we sing among all songs? We should sing songs about the intimate loving pastimes of Radhan Krishna. And throughout the entire discussion, it's all about Radhan Krishna. He doesn't say Nisringadev or Ram, Sita and Ram or any other thing. So this, nowadays, there's a little bit sometimes confusion about who is the Ishtadev of ISKCON, or who is the Ishtadev, you know, because it's very specific, our Ishtadev. We want to worship Radhan Krishna, we want to attain the service of Radhan Krishna, we want to go to their abode, we don't want to go to Nisringaloka or to, isn't it? So this Nyas says, the deity of the mantra is my protector. So the deity of the Maha Mantra is Radha Krishna Yuga. They are my protector, my maintainer, they are my everything. And I am chanting the Maha Mantra for their pleasure, to please them, to satisfy them. Krishna is pleased to hear the name of Radharani, and Radharani is most pleased to hear the name of Krishna. So when I'm chanting Hare Hare, I'm thinking, Krishna, please accept this chanting of your beloved's name. May this vibration of your beloved's name please your heart and satisfy your mind. Hare Hare. Then I'm saying, Krishna, Krishna, oh Radharani, do you like this chanting? Are you pleased? Are you satisfied with this chanting? Krishna, Krishna. Then Radharaman, the one who gives pleasure to Radharani. It's like this. So we're chanting to please Radha and Krishna. The third limb of Panchanga Naam Sadhana is Prapati. The word Prapati means to take shelter or to surrender. I take shelter of the lotus feet of the mantra Devata. This is called Prapati. Sometimes devotees, they come into the temple of the Lord, Radha Damodar, for example, and they lie on the floor in Dandavats and they say, Sharanagati Prabhu, Sharanagati Prabhu, Sharanagati. Oh, my master, oh, Bhagavan, Damodar, Sri Krishna, I take shelter, I surrender unto you, Sharanagati. So this is a little bit different, because these two points are there. Prapati means I take shelter of the lotus feet of the mantra Devata, means I take shelter of Radha and Krishna. In gain and loss, in good times and bad times, we have no other shelter. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Chota Bhuvana Nama Shrai, he said, in all the 14 worlds I have no other shelter than the holy name. Chota Bhuvana, like that's that song. Now the fourth limb of Panchanga Nam Sadhana is Sharanagati. And this is explained like this. I am a jiva who is suffering extremely, and therefore I surrender to the deity. This resolve is Sharanagati. This resolve, this means this conviction, this deep mood, that I'm suffering and I surrender. It's similar, Prapati and Sharanagati, but they're listed as two separate limbs. Then a fifth limb is Atmanivedana. Whatever I have belongs to him. Whatever I have belongs to him. It is not mine. I am not mine either. I am not mine either. I am his for him to enjoy. This is Atmanivedanam. If one follows the process comprised of Panchanga Nam Sadhana in these five limbs, he will quickly achieve perfection in chanting his mantras. So this is, these are, you can say, this term, Nam Artha Chintana, these are five aspects of that. So these are some of the specifics of Nam Bhajan. And in text 34, because in text 33, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that we should remember the meaning of the holy name. First he's saying we should chant on tulsi beads of a particular shape and chant in a particular way with the beads in the bead bag, not swinging them around our head or whatever. And then he's saying that while you're chanting in this external way, your internal your mind must be engaged in this way. In this panchanga, these five aspects of your internal self should be applied to chanting. And then, so this verse is about meaning. One should meditate on the meaning. So therefore, in the next verse, he cites the meaning of the holy name given by Gopal Guru Goswami. So this is a long thing here about the meaning. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has put this into Bengali. So I'm going to I rather like because I want to take the indication, because Gopal Guru Goswami, we can read his verse also. And we'll just finish the class this way. Initially I was going to read only Bhaktivinoda Thakur's version of this verse, because he gives a very wonderful meaning. But we'll because he's including Gopal Guru's meaning, then we'll also repeat it. This is text 34 and page 53. Because he's saying, you should think of the meaning. So someone says, well, what does it mean? What does the holy name mean? I mean, and then he says, here's what one great Mahajan tells us. I'll read the translation in English. The Supreme Person, Sri Bhagavan, has descended in the form of the holy name, which is the embodiment of condensed knowledge and bliss. While remembering the name of Bhagavan, one should remember that the Nam and the Nami, I mean the holy name and that which is named, are non-different. In the first stage of a sadhaka's progress, the holy name removes ignorance. Therefore, he is Hari. Hari means he who removes. The Rasikacharyas, however, they taste Harinam, thinking that in the Kunjas, Vrishabhana Nandini, Sri Radha is stealing away the mind of Sri Hari by her service. In other words, for neophytes, they think, oh, Hari, I have so many anarthas and so much ignorance, so please take away all my ignorance, my avidya, my aparad, my anartha. And for the Bhava Bhakta, or the advanced devotee, he's thinking, oh, Hari, this is Leela, this brings me to Leela, because he's off the bodily concept. So when he chants Hari, then he's thinking, oh, Radha and Krishna are in the kunjas enjoying, and Radharani's stealing away the mind of Sri Hari by her service. He who chants Hare Krishna mantra with this meditation attains Prema Bhakti. Sri Radha is Krishna Ladini Rupini, the embodiment of Krishna's own pleasure potency. Radhika steals away Krishna's mind, and therefore her name is Hara. The vocative form of Hara is Hare. Thus, Hare Krishna means Radha Krishna Yugo, means Radha and Krishna together. The names Radha and Krishna are Satchit Ananda, full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Radha and Krishna are personally present in Hare Krishna. The eternal master of Sri Radha, who is bliss personified, is Shyam, who has eyes like lotus petals, and who desires that Sri Radhika always be happy. Nanda Nandan Sri Krishna, the giver of bliss to the residents of Gokul, is always yearning to taste happiness with Sri Radha. Krishna's Lileshvara, a clever dear Lalita Nayak. This is one of the four types of heroes. Therefore, his name is Radha Raman. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is comprised of names of the divine couple. While chanting this mantra, one should remember their pastimes. So the same basic translation is given in Bengali by and very beautiful. You can even sing the song. It's very beautiful.
By Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
And we'll chant this song. I can't really sing very well, but Chidgananda Rupa Sri Bhagavan Nama Rupe Avatara Eta Praman Avidya Harana Karya Haite Namahari Ateva Hare Krishna Name Jayatari Krishna Lara Sarupini Sri Radama Krishna Mana Hare Tai Haranamatana Radha Krishna Shabde Sri Sachidananda Rupa Hare Krishna Shabde Radha Krishna Sarupa Ananda Sarupa Radha Tanda Nitya Swami Kamala Lochana Shama Radhananda Kami Gokula Ananda Nanda Nandana Sri Krishna Radha Sange Sukha Swade Sarvada Satrishna Vaidagya Sarvasva Murta Lileshwar Sri Radha Ramana Rama Nama Atapar Hare Krishna Mahamantra Sri Jugala Nam Jugala Lila Chinta Kara Abhiram. It's really beautiful. We'll just read this Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beautiful rendition. Chit Gan Ananda Rupa Sri Bhagavan Nam Rupe Avatar Eta Praman. Translation. Sri Krishna is the personification of condensed eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He is an ocean of compassion. The clear proof of this is that he has appeared on this earth in the form of his name for the benefit of living entities. Avidya Harana Karya Haite Nama Hari Ata Eva Hare Krishna Name Jaya Tari. This form of Hari, means the holy name, is performing the task of removing ignorance. Therefore, those who affectionately chant Hari Nam are saved from this illusory world created by ignorance. Krishna Lada Swarupini Sri Radha Amar Krishna Mana Hare Tai Hara Namatandra. This translation. Sri Radha is the essence of Ladini Shakti, and she is always giving supreme pleasure to Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Radha even steals away the mind of Parama Purusha Sri Krishna with her sweet form and qualities and by her service, which is filled with prema. Therefore, one of her names is Hara. Hare in the Maha Mantra is the vocative form of Hara, which refers to Sri Radha. Then the fourth verse. Radha Krishna Shabde Sri Sachidananda Rupa Hare Krishna Shabde Radha Krishna Sarupa. And a translation. Thus the devotee who is exclusively intent on the divine couple accepts Radha and Krishna as the only meaning of Hare Krishna. Right? This is very important because many people that chant Hare Krishna, the only meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is Radha and Krishna. And I'll just read the rest because we only have a few minutes. Sri Radha is the personification of bliss, Ananda Sarupini. Kamala Lochan Shamsundar is her eternal beloved, Pranavallabh. Shamsundar is always intent on pleasing Sri Radha, but nonetheless he remains indebted to her. The source of the great festival of bliss of Gokul, Nanda Nandan, is a supremely attractive attractor. Therefore he is named Krishna. Even though he always tastes happiness in Radha's association, he always remains eager for it. He is famous as Radha Raman because he, Lileshwara, the personification and essence of all cleverness and amorous pastimes, is always with Radha, playing Ramana inside and outside her heart. So it's very nice. In other words, when we say Hare Ram, it doesn't mean Ramachandra, it doesn't mean Balaram. Means Radha Raman, means Krishna, who is always playing inside and outside the heart of Radharani. Well, this is a very beautiful meditation. Just meditate on that, how Krishna is playing inside Radharani's heart, how he's playing outside. It's very nice. Meaning of Hare Ram. This Radha Raman Sri Krishna is called Ram in the Maha Mantra. It should be understood that Hare Krishna in the Maha Mantra means Radha Krishna Yugal. Therefore, while performing japa or kirtan of the Maha Mantra, one should continuously remember the pastimes of Radha Krishna Yugal. So this is, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was once discussing the meaning of the Maha Mantra, and he said, if someone thinks that Hare Ram refers to Ramachandra, and he thinks that while chanting the Maha Mantra, then his chanting will take him to Ayodhya. Ayodhya, of course, is quite distant from Braja Gokul. And our chintata is extremely important. Although one time two sannyasis were having an argument or debate or something about the meaning of Ram in the Maha Mantra, so Prabhupada said, because one sannyasi was saying Ram means Balaram, and the other was saying Ram means Ramachandra, so to pacify the situation and to harmonize everything, Prabhupada said, yes, you're both right. Hare Ram refers to Balaram, Ram, Ramachandra, whatever, like this. And so then both sannyasis were happy. And some devotees, they saw that it was only a passing comment of Prabhupada. It isn't praman or tattva for the entire Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But some devotees I've seen that quote, and they've developed an entire siddhanta saying, yes, the Maha Mantra means Ramachandra, or yes, the Maha Mantra refers to Balaram. And it's quite off the mark.
it's quite off the mark, because you can't take one comment of Srila Prabhupada and disregard the entirety of his presentation or the entirety of the parampara. So Prabhupada certainly is in agreement with the parampara and his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who says, as Bhaktivinoda says, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra refers to Radha Krishna Yugal, Bas. And if someone happens to have realized their Staibhav in Sakiras, then they may chant the Maha Mantra with additional understanding, or bringing that to the conception of Krishna Balaram or Sakiras. But most of our acharyas, most of our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas are in Madhurya Ras, and the general presentation, or the majority of the presentation, is that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra refers to Radha and Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your attention and presence here, which is giving us some energy, because from our side we have none. Manchakopa Druvya's job creepers in the day. Please bless me and I may appear here tomorrow.
That's nice.